Hey, while we're still out of school, some of you, but still in school, who in here loves math? You just love math. You people are crazy. You're crazy. Hey, who's like me and absolutely hates math? Yes, you're my people. Love you guys. This guy's double waving. I hate it. I hate it. Pick me. I don't know what we're picking for. I hate math. Here's the deal. Any math teachers in the room? Yes? God bless you guys. God bless you. I see the value of math. I understand the world needs math. But here's why I hate math. Because math hates me. It just is out to get me. It is trying to ruin my life. It just is hard for me. I do not enjoy it. But there are some good things to math. So do you guys like, those who like math, do you like to just sit there and solve problems on a paper? I do not understand you. That is crazy. They're like, yes. All right, who likes word problems? Anybody in here like word problems? Okay. All right, that takes math out of this like idealistic phase into real life. So who would like to solve a word problem this morning? I need to volunteer. I saw your hand back there, green shirt. Come on up here, buddy. Come on. I don't have a microphone. We don't need one. All right. What's your name, dude?
Holden.
Yeah. Okay. Holden, for you and everyone pretend you're in his shoes right now. I want you to think of the same thing. Now, I'm going to give you an option, okay? You could choose to get $1,000 every day for 30 days, or I wish I had a briefcase or like a duffel bag of just cash. How cool would that be if it was just like ones everywhere? Or you could take this penny, little Abe, and it could double every day for 30 days. What would you choose?
The penny doubling.
Why?
Because it gets bigger and bigger.
No, it's tiny. It's not, doubles. Every penny is the same size. Well, who cares if it doubles? It's a stinking penny. Bro, I'm giving you $1,000 every day for 30 days.
Eventually,
that will run out. Holden, you're the man. Go grab a seat, buddy. Way to go. Hey, who thinks he's crazy and you're going, no, give me the $1,000 every day? Hey, buddy, don't know if you took math class, but we're talking $1,000 here, okay? And who's going, hey, put me with Holden. I'm going to take the penny. Okay. Show me the money, Tyson. It's right here, dude. It's a penny. I wish I could just flip it to you, but it's so small I can't even do that. Okay. Holden's right. After 30 days, you'd have $30,000. After 30 days with a penny. Now, I want to remind you, Holden, after a week, you don't even have a dollar. We're talking 30 days, and you don't even have a dollar after the end of a week. Your other buddy would have $7,000. But Holden is right, because the investment of that penny is far more. I can't even remember the number. After 30 days with one penny, you would have $5,368,000. $709.12 from one penny after 30 days. How? If you don't trust me, go do the math. That's what happens. It is crazy. And here's why. Because when we add things to our lives, even good things, even lots of things, when we add it to our lives, we think that that's going to increase. And it does a little bit. But when we multiply our lives, far more comes out of it. The difference between $30,000 and over $5 million in just 30 days. That is crazy. So I want to ask you a question this morning. Not about money, not about just a resource of this, but the resource of your life. The resource of who you are and why God has put you here. What if you could impact one person, your life, could have an impact where you could truly influence them. You could be a part of helping create who they are. You could have an impact on one person. Would you want that? What if it wasn't just one person, but what if you could have an impact on the world? Not just, hey, I posted a thing on Instagram and everybody saw it, but your life, because of how you spent your time and hung with people, your life could have an impact on the world. Would you want that? What if you could be a part of somebody knowing Jesus intimately, or you yourself could know Jesus deeply, or even more than that, you could be a part of the world knowing Jesus, not just knowing of him, but knowing him, walking with him, growing in him. Would you want to be a part of something like that? There is something like that, and it's called discipleship. It's what God calls his people to do as the church so that people will grow. God wants to save the world. God wants to call you to himself, but God wants to use you guys. God wants to use all of us to be a part of what he is doing to change the world. And that's why we're talking about this series for the next few weeks called Multiply. Looking at when we decide to invest ourselves in other people because we have been invested in. We don't just add things to think that we're going to get better along the way, but we allow ourselves to grow even more because of what God is doing in and through us, through other people, and as we do that through other people. And the church is strengthened and the church grows. This is a series about discipleship. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at three different relationships of discipleship. Of someone investing in you, of you linking arms with other people, and then you investing in others, multiplying out your faith and what God is doing in you so that the kingdom of God grows. And so this morning, I want to show you a case for discipleship, the cost of discipleship, and then your call, what God has on you for discipleship. If you got your Bibles, first, we're going to spend a little bit of time here and then go somewhere else. Go to Matthew 28. Matthew 28, 19 and 20, we've looked at this verse before, but I want to show it to you again. I'm going to read it, and we'll talk about it. It says, this is Jesus. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Does anybody know what this is called? This little passage of scripture, it is called the Great Commission. Yes, you are right. Anybody know why it's called the Great Commission? Because that's what we've named it. Because this is Jesus sending people on mission. If you join the military and you are deployed, you are commissioned somewhere by the United States government and the United States military to go on mission with them, to go where they are sending you. Because you have marching orders, you have a job to do, you have something to accomplish. This is Jesus talking to his disciples and other followers of him. This is after all of his ministry here, after he has hung with these guys for 3 years, after he has gone to the cross willingly, he died for them. He then rose up 3 days later to defeat sin and death, and then he appeared to them. And what Jesus didn't do is show up to the disciples and go, ta-da, told ya. Cool, guys, see ya. Like, what if that was the end? It was like Jesus does all this cool stuff and then just goes, see, everything I said was true. Now I'm going up to daddy. Well, we probably wouldn't be here because what God had in mind was far better than just sending Jesus to save the people at that time. Jesus could have come and grabbed thousands of people every day for the 33 years that he was here. Let's say it was 1,000 a day or 1,000 a year. He'd have 33,000 following him at the end of his life, but he didn't. He took 12. That seems like a very poor investment unless God knew what he was doing, because Jesus took those 12 and invested and poured his life into them, knowing and calling them to go do the same for others. And guys, that's why we are here now. Because of Jesus loving those 12 men and them going out and loving others, and the church grew. That's what you see happen in Acts. And what Jesus calls his disciples and calls us to do in the Great Commission is different than I think what we tend to hear. Go, therefore, and just tell people about your faith. Is that what your translation says? Go, therefore, and just say the name of Jesus somewhere to a waiter. Go, therefore, and invite somebody to church. Go, therefore, and win souls. You heard that before? It's an old school term. Sometimes I think we take this passage and think, oh, I just need to tell people about Jesus. This is not an evangelism passage. Evangelism is a great thing. Telling people about Jesus is a great thing. Inviting people to church or to your small group is a great thing. But what Jesus calls us to is far greater than just a conversation. What Jesus calls us to is the same thing that he did for us and for his disciples. Giving your life for other people so that their life will forever be different. It's called discipleship. And it's a lot harder than just adding a couple people. It multiplies out, and the world will be different because of it. And so, because of what Jesus did, apostles went out and they started the church, and this thing grew, and other people started to know about Jesus and give their life for him. And then a guy who used to kill Christians became converted, and his name was Paul. If you've been in the church for a while, if you've hung around here, you've heard us talk about Paul. You've read about Paul. Paul was an amazing man, a hero of the faith, a man that hopefully we would aspire to be like. But Paul couldn't do it on his own. Paul is a great man, just like Jesus, when he was here, did great things. But Paul couldn't do it alone. He could have done some things, but his impact would not be as great. What Paul did is he invested in a guy named Timothy. Timothy was a guy that he saw who God was going to use, and he loved him, and he cared for him, and he taught him, and he hung with him, and he answered his questions, and he showed him how to do stuff, and he took him with him when he was doing everything, and he continued to love him and pour into him, and Timothy grew. And then Timothy did the same thing, and again, it multiplied out. This morning, we're going to look at this guy, Paul, and how Paul invested in Timothy. What I want you to know is we all need a Paul. All of us in here, student or leader, we all need a Paul. Jesus came so you could know him. But Jesus didn't just come so that you could go live in heaven someday and sit in your room with your Bible every day and be confused because you have no idea what it's saying. And you're just like, why? Why? Why that? Ah. Jesus came so that you could know him, and you could know him through another person living it out in front of you. That's what the church is for. That's who Paul was, is he was someone that came to churches and he told about Jesus, and not only told them, he lived it so that people could see it. And Timothy got to see it lived out over and over and over, and he grew because he saw Jesus in Paul. We need a Paul. All of us in here. If you're a leader, stand up. If you're an adult leader, stand up right now. All right? All of these men and women and guys and girls, these are examples of people older than you, people who have chosen to give of their life to invest in y'all. They might be your leader. Look around. I want you to look around right now. You might see your leader. You might see no one you recognize. You might see somebody that you go, oh, I've seen that guy or that girl around. These are people who love you. They are Paul-like. They are men and women worth following because of the way that they follow Jesus. All right, y'all go ahead, grab a seat. If they're Paul, that makes you Timothy. Hopefully, raise your hand if you're in a small group in here. Okay? Lots of people. My hope is that this morning, through this message, you will be encouraged to jump into small group more, to take advantage of that opportunity more, to take advantage of this Paul in your life. If you're not in a small group, I hope you will get in one, because I think this is something that God's going to use in your life to grow you more than just what you can teach yourself, but see lived out in somebody else. I'm going to read something that Paul wrote to Timothy, and I want you to hear it. What he said, and then some things I'll say afterwards, and think if your leader has said some of these things to you. Because I think some of them are very, very similar. If you got your Bible, pull it out again. We're going to go to 1 Timothy. This is a letter that Paul wrote to Timothy to teach him, to remind him, to tell him some of these things. Here's what he says. 1 Timothy 4, starting in verse 6. If you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed. What he's saying is everything I've wrote to you before, if you take all of this, just teach it to other people. Don't just take it and run with it for yourself. Take what you've learned and give it to others. Verse 7, have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and for the life to come. The saying is trustworthy and deserving full acceptance. This is a good one. It says, don't just follow the things of the world. Don't just get caught up in all of this stuff, but train for godliness. Have you heard your leader say something like this? Train yourself in righteousness. Grow spiritually. Grow as a man or woman of God. Have you heard something like that? Are you asleep? Maybe you're not hearing anything. That's fine. Probably you've heard that over and over, and you're just like, okay, seriously, get over it. I got to pass math, dude. I just got to do that. Hey, I want to go play sports. I've got to get better. What this passage is saying is, hey, athletics is a great thing, but there are better ways to invest your time. Anybody an athlete in here? You consider yourself an athlete? Okay, good. Love it. You're athletic? That's great. Hey, do you think that you are going to be better at your sport of choice just because you show up to the games? I mean, is that what makes you an athlete? Hey, yeah, I'm on a team. Yeah, I go. I play basketball. I just show up. All right, who we playing? You think LeBron goes on a Tuesday night? Is all right. Oh, what's up, guys? Here we go. Who we playing? All right, put me in, coach. I'm ready. Give me the ball. Shoot the J. Hey! All right, see y'all. I'm LeBron. See you next game. Is that not what he does? No, that's not what he does. LeBron, even as one of the greatest players that exists today, has to work incredibly hard to continue to train, to be ready. He doesn't just show up to games to be an all-star athlete. He has coaches. He has trainers. He has people that are riding him hard who are going, no, run faster. No, more weight. No, here's how you do that are helping him be better. Guys, the same is true for us. We can't just show up to Sundays and think we're growing in our faith. We can't just even show up to small group and go, yeah, no, I'm improving. That's like thinking that you're being better because you show up to games. How are you allowing yourself to be trained as a man of God or a woman of God so that you are ready when the time comes for God to deploy you and to use you even now? Verse 10, here's what it says. For to this end we toil and strive. That's what we're doing. Your leaders and I, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. Verse 11, command and teach these things. Again, take this stuff. Don't just soak it yourself. Give it to others. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Your leaders have probably said this too. Don't let your age disqualify you. God's going to use you right now for how he has given you opportunities. This next verse says is how he's gifted you. Actually, a couple more. First, it says, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Until we get together next Sunday, until we get together on Wednesday, study what God has already given you. Give it to others. Help them grow, and in that, you will grow. 15, practice these things. Immerse yourself in them. Discipline yourself. Put it into practice. And keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Be held accountable. Allow others into your life because you're not meant to do it alone. We all need a Paul. And Paul loved Timothy, and he challenged him, and he called him, and he invited him into a deep relationship. I want you to hear clearly. What I'm talking about here is not salvation, okay? Salvation is open to any and everybody. Salvation is free. Salvation is what God has done for you. It is a free gift. You can accept it. You can take it. It costs you nothing, but discipleship is really, really costly. Salvation is free. Discipleship is really costly. Salvation costs you nothing. It costs Jesus everything. And in return, what God says is, hey, I just want your life. Oh, that's it? Yeah. That's it, but it's a lot. You can have everything for eternal life and life with Christ, but to grow in Christ is going to take some work. It's going to take some pain of training and discipline because God wants to use that to grow you as a man or woman. I want you to think about it this way, because a lot of times we want the cheap, easy way instead of the hard way. Who likes fast food? Anybody in here like fast food still? Of course you do. Can't drive by a Whataburger and not just salivate for it. All right, but there's a difference between fast food and fine dining. Okay, yesterday, my two-year-old Abel, he's been wanting Jack in the Box for like weeks. He's like, Daddy, can we go there? Does that sound like a good plan? I'm like, no, bad plan, dude. Bad plan. He's like, no, I want to go. So I took him, and we got Jack in the Box tacos. Anybody had that? Two tacos for a dollar? Oh, there's nothing greater until you then eat them and walk out of Jack in the Box, and you're like, oh, why? Why did we do that? I think even my one-year-old was like, why are we eating this? He's like pushing it away. He knows better than I do. Because it's cheap. The three of us ate for $3.68. How amazing is that? But now our body hates us. My body hates me right now. There's a difference in cheap food and really good steak. Or ladies, who likes to shop at J. Crew? Guys, too. I like to shop at J. Crew. Okay? You're going to pay more for clothes versus Forever 21. You could just get something cheap off the rack, but it's going to fall apart in a couple weeks. There is a difference in something that is of value, that is worth something. It's going to cost more, but it is far greater in the end. But a lot of times, we just want the cheap route because it's easier, because it's there, because it doesn't take as much work. Salvation is free because of what God has done. Discipleship is costly. Let me tell you about the cost of discipleship. I've got boys that are in high school. Let me tell you, though, of when they were in junior high, in eighth grade, we had a boy who was struggling with pornography, and he confessed it to us. And I said, hey, man, I think you need to go tell your dad. What? No. I think you just said I need to go tell my dad. Yeah, man, I think that's what you should do. I think your dad loves you and he wants to walk through that with you. No. I can't do that. He ended up going and telling his dad. You think that's a hard conversation? You think that's something he wanted to do? Obviously not. But he grew because of it. He grew in his relationship with his dad. He grew in a relationship with his heavenly father because of how he walked in integrity and authenticity. Another guy got involved in the party crowd. His friends started drinking, started getting caught up in this scene. He realized that that was not where he wanted to be, and so he walked away from lifelong friendships. You think that's easy? Not only did he just go, oh, I won't hang with you as much. He wrote a letter to his best friend since kindergarten and said, hey, man, here's how I'm seeing you live your life. Here is where I am going to run because of what God has done in my life through Jesus Christ. I would love for you to come with me. I love you. I'm not judging you. I want to be your friend, but I cannot run with you. You're welcome to run with me anytime. You think that's easy? But he grew because of it. I heard a story after this dating series where a kid in here broke up with his girlfriend because he started to process this, to go, man, should I be in this relationship? Discipleship is costly, but it is so worth it. It may cost you not getting on varsity in high school because you choose to go to small group instead of being on a select team. It may cost you some sleep, some time in the morning. It may cost you even friendships like the kid in my small group because you choose to invest in certain people or allow people in your circle, and it's not going to gain you popularity, but it is going to grow you as a man or woman of Christ. Discipleship's costly. Being a discipler may even be more costly. Being a Paul. Here, I want to remind you what your leaders do. Your leaders, your small group leaders that go to small group and show up here, they do not get paid for this. Some of you, I think your leaders get paid by the church to come hang out with you. They don't. They have a whole separate job. They have a whole separate life, but they take time out of their life to invest in your life because they value you and they love you. every week, every Wednesday night, they are taking time away from their wife or their husband or their kids or their boyfriend and girlfriend or their friends because they want to spend time with you. They're not doing things they want to do because they're coming to your games. They're staying up till 4:30 in the stinking morning on D-Town and sleeping on the floor because they love you. And they think it's a blast to hang out with you. They're giving of their time, their resources. They are giving of their lives to invest in you. They're hearing what's going on in your life. They lean into situations and tough questions, even if it's awkward, even if they don't know how you're going to respond, because they want to point you to Jesus. Salvation's free, but discipleship is costly. This is the church, guys. This is the body of Christ at work. I want to read a verse that we tell to your leaders all the time. 1 Thessalonians 2:8. So, being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. Another translation says, but we gave you our very lives. Your leaders, I hope you don't just take them for granted. I hope you don't just go, oh man, are they just telling me that again? They are here because they are choosing not to do other things because they want to choose you, because they love you. And they're not only going to just tell you stuff. They want to give you themselves so that you can see an example of Jesus lived out. And what they're saying is, follow me as I follow Christ. Are these people perfect? No, absolutely not. And I could point them out right now. Just kidding. I could point it out in me too. We are not perfect, but we're a little down the road, and you can look to us of how we live our life, how we live in relationship with Jesus and with others, how we make mistakes and choose to own that, or mistake in how we own that. And you can learn from us. And so what your leaders say is, follow me as I follow Christ. We all need a Paul. But you are Timothy. What makes you a good Timothy? How do you take advantage of this relationship? How do you use this time that God has given you in a small group so that you can grow as a man or a woman? Because yeah, you see that lived out in your leader. How do you be a good Timothy? I want to give you four things that you can remember. And it's easy. I'm going to give you a Paul acronym. This is your Paul. This is the person that God has given to you to look to. So how do you take advantage of Paul? Not just try to take his money or to like punch him anytime you can. Not that take advantage. But how do you use the opportunity God has given you and learn from them? This Paul that God has put in your life. P is participate. You just got to be involved. For some of you, that means you need to be in a small group. You just need to be a part of this process, not the Sunday stuff, but real depth of relationship. Some of you, you show up every week because you just want the free cookies. Oh, Chips Ahoy, I'm there. Or just because your mom or your dad makes you go, maybe you need to actually get involved, not just show up. Maybe you need to participate and not just be there, but be fully present and engaged. Participate. A is ask questions. Don't just show up and just be around and think that you're growing by association. If you've got something that you're wrestling with or you want to know, ask your leader. God's put them there so that you can know. Learn from them. See if you're wrestling spiritually. They may not know the answer, but they want to help you with it. Ask them. You as understand. Take what they're telling you. Take what you're hearing, what you're learning. Understand how they live their life, why they make the choices they do. Why they see a certain issue, maybe even differently than you do. Understand from them and don't just take the information and hold it yourself, but put it into practice. L is live it out. Be involved. Ask them questions. Understand from them. And then you go do the same. Model from them what you see. That's how you be a disciple. That's how you be a Timothy. That's how you take advantage of this Paul relationship. You have. We all need a Paul. And guys, all of you can have a Paul. If you don't have one, we want to give you one. Come find me afterwards or come to the bar out there, find Thomas. We would love to help get you connected. Let's go back to the title slide. This X right here, this X is something that can be really important. It can be something if you're watching, what's that show? America's Got Talent. Someone's up there dancing like, oh yeah, I'm going to make millions. Woo, woo, woo. And they're like, nope, get out of here. Get off the stage. We don't want anything to do with that. You are not America's best. Some of y'all have that kind of mentality when it comes to your growth. Or you're either apathetic like that, or you just go, I don't want that. That's too hard. That is not how I want to spend my time. That's not going to give me life in the way I see other things. So it can be a, no, I don't want it. Or it can be something like we've talked about, like multiplication, the whole reason we're doing it, that can, because of how you use your life, can invest in other people and be invested in. If you choose to be invested in by a Paul, to be a disciple, and then choose to take the challenge to go disciple others that we're going to talk about through this whole series, God will use you. I'm going to give you an equation. Relationship times discipline equals discipleship. Relationship times discipline equals discipleship. It's those words put together. If I could spell. You have a relationship with an adult. Will you choose to apply yourself in that relationship and then grow as a disciple and then choose to do the same thing? So I want to challenge you to take what you're learning, as Paul says to Timothy, and then give it to others, all right? So here's the challenge. If one person, this little stick figure guy, decides to take what they're learning and then to invest in two more people, all right? Is that simple to do? Is that a simple challenge? I'm not telling you have to go make hundreds of new friends, but to take what you're learning in small group and to invest in two more people. That's not that bad. All right, then let's say that the next year, those two people invest in two more people. And then the next year, they invest in two more and so on and so on. Because of your faithfulness to two people, they will then go invest in two other people. Can y'all see that over there? Ish. Okay, I want you to think of it in 8 years. 8 years doesn't seem like that much time. In 8 years, raise your hand if you're in sixth grade. In 8 years, you will be approaching your sophomore year in college. Wow. That's not that far away. Eighth graders, where are you at? 8 years from now, you will be graduating college. Crazy. All right? Okay, so hey, y'all stay with me. In 8 years, okay, let's just say one person in this room, one person, decides to take the challenge, to take what you're learning, and to faithfully love two others and challenge them to love two others. This guy does the same thing. In 8 years, 128 people will be impacted because of your faithfulness. Just because you chose to invest your life in two people. Just like this penny. That's crazy. 128 people just because you love two. Now, let's just say it's not one of you. We've got 45 small groups in our junior high ministry. 45. Let's say one person from each small group decides to take that challenge. In 8 years, I can't even remember the number. In 8 years, there will be 5,760 people impacted because of your life in junior high student ministry. Let's say it's not just one from every small group, but half. Let's say there are about 12 people in every small group. So six from every small group decide to take that challenge. After 8 years, 34,560 people would be impacted, not to just hear the gospel, but to be invested in, to grow as disciples because of junior high students in Dallas, Texas at Watermark Community Church. That's crazy. Because of one person's faithfulness. Or because of one ministry's faithfulness. That's discipleship. That's multiplication. I'm going to give you another really crazy, shocking number. Because Jesus didn't come to just, he came to change people's lives today. He came to change the world over time as we love and live it out. Like this penny, where you get 5 million in 30 days. Let's say that because of your faithfulness now, 30 years from now, when you're in your 40s and you've got a family and you are where your parents are sitting and your kids might be sitting in junior high, because of your faithfulness, if you just love people, in 30 years, just because of one kid, One kid, not the whole ministry. One kid in 30 years, because of your faithfulness, there will be, oh man, 1,073,741,824 people impacted because of your faith. One kid. Guys, that's over three times the size of the United States population. This country could be different because of you. That's the call to discipleship. You want a crazier number? 33 years, the life of Christ, in the time Jesus spent on earth, from one kid's faithfulness, challenging two, and challenging them to challenge two. In 33 years, there would be 934,592 people. That is far greater than the world's population. Let's just take discipleship out of it. If you shared your faith with one person and they did that, the world would hear the gospel. That's the Great Commission. That's what Jesus gave his life for. That's the role of the church, to go make disciples. All you have to do is be faithful with a few. God's going to do the rest. Pray. Trust in him. Take advantage of the call that God has in your life and live it out. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you came. And you didn't came to just do something with the thousands that lived at the time that you did, but you took those 12 guys and you loved them and you challenged them and you lived it out in front of them and you sent them to love the people in their community who then loved the people in other communities. And God, we exist today because of that. Because of your death, because of your resurrection. And so, Lord, I thank you that we can know you. I thank you that we can know of you because of your word, because of the church, and we can see people live out their faith in real ways. Thank you that we don't have to be perfect because you are. But, Lord, you want to use us. You want to use our imperfections. You want to use the gifts you've given us and our weaknesses to go and to love others. We pray that this city would be different because of junior high kids in it. We pray that the world would change. Because your love in us. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.